Doing a sermon series on the intersection between gospel and life, and now we want to talk about a word called witness. That is to say, the people of God are a witness to the truth by their words and by their deeds. And our text for today is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The text that we actually read yearly here, and you'll see shortly why that is the case, but understanding who it is and why we are who we are. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us to see how it is that we can, in fact, witness to what we believe, witness to the truth, witness to the gospel, which is the hope of the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am amazed by one of the most dynamic evangelistic organizations of the modern world. It's a group of people that's grown from inauspicious beginnings to a movement that has followers now in every part of the globe. Its adherents give faithfully to it, not counting the cost of the finances, giving willingly, and the organization's health and influence has grown tremendously because of it. They gather weekly for worship, with attendance varying in size, but usually these places are growing to such an extent that newer worship places are being built. Sometimes the worship is amazing, sometimes it's not so energizing, but worshipers don't want to miss it. Children are taught from a young age how to learn its ways so that it becomes innate within them as they progress from various stages of growth, and they are given increasing responsibilities and expectations as they go along. These earlier stages of growth are given high priority in the communities in which they happen, disproportionate to any other kind of community events, often at times. This organization's influence is felt by adherents and critics alike. The modern press follow its every move with discussions of its influence, its power, its success, and yes, even its scandals. The organization, understanding that they are in the public eye, has made sure that their public image is carefully kept, with the twin pillars of their own beliefs being success and also giving back to the community, public charity. And much like the great religions of this world, the organization has an annual celebration, which has become a pilgrimage for many as they go, that many refuse to miss. It's followed throughout the globe, registers now in the vicinity of hundreds of millions, and revenue calculated in the billions of dollars. What organization am I talking about? NFL. The NFL. National Football League. It's become a remarkable witness to the game which it promotes. And NFL is the most popular denomination in the game, of a variety of games that include a ball, a field, and goalposts. Now, I am, being the son of a football coach, I'm not criticizing the game, though we could go into the way in which it's been handled, embodying the idols that are also problematic for the church. Money, sex, and power can be problematic. But it seems like in the midst of it, the heart sometimes gets lost of what is beautiful about the game. So I'm not heading into a discussion on the pros and the cons of the NFL, but simply put, They are a tremendous witness to the game they promote. And now they are facing real dangers to its continued success if, in fact, they get pulled down. Simply put, today, the place that where the gospel of Jesus Christ meets life is in a community of people who believe a truth so all-encompassing that they cannot be helped in the process of bearing witness to that truth, in word and in deed. And when you compare the two, at the end of the day, isn't football just a game? It's just a game. Of millions spent promoting it and people giving their lives for it and lives devastated because of it. We in the church, however, are not promoting a game. We are promoting a truth that is meant to go out into all the world. And the church should be a place where the devotion of the average football fan should be beaten by the devotion of those who believe in one who has laid down his life for us, thinking nothing of the cost of coming, participating, and giving our lives to it. Though, in fact, we have an alternate truth in that we do not proclaim a vision of success. We proclaim a vision of grace in which strength is made perfect in weakness, that our hero is one who died and yet was raised again. Here was Jesus' vision for the church. He said in his Sermon on the Mount, "You are a light to the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No, instead they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The mission and the purpose of the church should be a light to the world, not as something that is kept carefully kept away in church facilities for people that we prefer or for a purpose that is in fact secret. No, it is meant to be an outreaching community. And so when we look at what it means to be a witness to the gospel, I want to take very briefly this text from Acts chapter 2 and illuminate it with our own church's mission statement. I've been here 9 years now. This mission statement is now so emblazed on my memory that it informs all that I do here, because it's what I believe, in fact, the church is about. That the church is meant to be an evangelizing church. The church is meant to be a caring church. Church is meant to be a place of learning, a learning church. And the church is meant to be a worshiping church. And we have these four elements deeply embedded in Acts chapter 2 and also carefully put in our own church's mission statement, where we are to seek, to serve, to support, and to sustain. I hope that as the years go by, you begin to emblaze that into your own memory, because when we depart from any of these pillars of what it means to be a church, we have problems. And God, when we separate ourselves from the mission he has for our church, when we dim the light that we are meant to be to the world, when we add other things in its place, God, in fact, does kill churches. He does. He puts them away because they are no longer of use to him. They are no longer serving him. They are serving themselves. And we are called to give ourselves to who he says the church is. We are to seek, primarily, to bring others to faith in Jesus Christ. We see this in the last verse of Acts chapter 2. And it says that those who were being saved were being added to their number daily. A church is meant to bear witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:13 says this very clearly. We are meant to give a reason for the hope that we have to those or to anybody who would ask. What we believe needs to be spoken. What it is that we trust about the Lord our God is meant to be given verbal witness to. I am a Christian. I believe that Christ died for me, and that hope can be yours as well if you but put your faith and your trust in Him. A church that is committed to saying what it believes unapologetically, but doing so not in kind of obtrusive force, rather in clear, direct, but graceful invitation, will find itself having those coming into their midst and knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This happens in a number of ways. It's happened a number of ways for me here as I've pastored here. It comes from those who have walked away from the faith and now come back and say, I believe this now. Help me guide, be led into it. Those who've never heard as well, coming to faith in the Lord. Those who have even gone to church for years and yet have never known that there was an invitation to be had, that the gospel is something to be believed in, and Jesus is meant to be trusted in. The evangelizing work of God in and through people through the church can be done in a variety of ways, but it's meant to speak to the truth that we have in Christ. Church is meant to be a serving community, a caring church. Our second mission statement is to serve in mission locally and globally. That is to say that we are concerned about the physical needs of people in our midst. We do that in our own community. We do that with Modesto Salvation Army. We're doing that now with people who need food in Zimbabwe. We've had a beautiful outreach in that respect, and it's an outflowing of what it means to be a caring church. That is to say that the caring cannot be reduced to everybody in this church right now. Who we care for is meant to be our neighbor. In the great Good Samaritan story, whenever all the religious people pass by the person in need, the likeliest of person helps out. We are meant to be a caring community, serving people's physical needs where the Lord leads us. We cannot, in fact, do all that we'd love to do, but we can strategically commit ourselves to helping in a variety of ways that people will know that they are being served in the love of Christ, which is an outflowing of the gospel. We're meant to be a learning church, and we have that in our mission statement as well. We support personal growth through learning and teaching and sharing God's word. That is to say that not only do we serve, but we should also be growing in what we know about the faith. Our minds should be enlarged. We should care for people's intellectual questions. It should be a place in which we gather for Bible studies, and people will come from varieties of backgrounds, from a variety of understandings of worldviews, and we put them on the table and we allow the gospel to speak to them. I happen to be one who is not a person who is in favor of a method of learning that is simply indoctrination. I believe that the truth of the gospel is so powerful that any person with any kind of question can come to that and sort through all the questions and then be able to come to a place of truth. I believe that because I've seen it in my own life. There have been many beliefs that I have held over the years that have been ill thought through, that have been, in fact, quite religiously constraining, that I've been changed by the Word of God speaking to my questions. God is not afraid of people asking the tough questions. God is not afraid of His truth coming up against another ideology. His presentation of the truth has always been so humbly convincing that as time goes on, people's defenses begin to be worn down, and the wisdom of God usually shines through. And we say at the end of the day, your ways are better than my ways. Your truth is better than my truth. And which is why we should be patient with those who are still struggling with that. We can't. People come into the church at a variety of stages in their walk. Maybe not even here in faith yet. Welcome the questions. Speak to the questions with grace. Let us sort through it. But the truth of God comes through when a church is committed to learning more about the truth of God. And lastly, a church is a worshiping church. We have this sustain a Christ-centered fellowship. Oh, what a great place to end. Sustain a Christ-centered fellowship. This is not create or sustain a service organization of people we like. This is not sustain a group of people that I prefer and get along with and just would like it to leave it that way. Christ-centered fellowship. It's not about our community interests. It's not about our family backgrounds at the end of the day. It's not about our socioeconomic status or our race. It is about where we stand in relation to Christ. And a church can only be a place where people come in the doors and the highest position they could ever be at is on their knees. We don't have a gloriously manufactured chair for the pastor to show his esteemed nature. We don't allow you to, with your monetary donations, reserve a pew, though some of you are very territorial. Yeah. And the church is an interesting place because people come and go. Some leave us and go to be with the Lord. Some move here and move away. And so there's no priority of however long you've been here either. You walk in those doors. You are simply a person for whom Christ died. Committed, should be committed to Christ, and willing to be centered upon Him. And it levels the playing field. And the most important thing about that truth is seen right here in front of me at the Lord's table. A place in which we can only sing just as I am without one plea. The one place where only sinners are allowed. The one place where the only confession that can be made that really counts is, I believe in Christ. It's the one place where we are called, after receiving the Lord's Supper, to be whom God is calling us to be. A people intent on seeking to bring others to faith in Christ, serving in mission, supporting personal growth, sustaining a Christ-centered fellowship. And you'll see it all comes back in the end, because churches, when they are serving, when they are supporting, when they are sustaining, those very actions are in fact bringing us back to number one, they are evangelistic. Because they are a community living not in power, but in grace. They are a community showing a love that can never be earned. And they are a community offering the only hope that can ever be given. It cannot be bought. It cannot be earned. There's no status that can be attained by it. It is simply freely given through the grace of Jesus Christ. As we come to the table this morning, let us be very clear that this is our act of being a Christ-centered fellowship, centered on the grace of Jesus Christ. As we receive it, help us. Pray that the Lord will help us be who He calls us to be. An outreaching, a caring, a learning, and a worshiping church. And whatever that looks like at the end of the day will be up to Him. Let us not depart from the truth of it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your grace, which was extended to all. That said to the religious and to the irreligious of His day, you all need to be converted. that said to the religious and the irreligious of his day, you all need to humble yourselves before me. I said to all, come to me who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, help us to come to this table this morning in humble, honest, and desperate faith. Even saying, we believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.